Hey everyone, I hope you are happy and healthy. What an honor it was to speak with the members of our military with my good friend and business partner, the Hall of Fame running back, Marshall Faulk. And we were talking about how we can use this time to grow and what it's like to be a leader during a crisis. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook.
We're here to talk about leadership, mentorship, and entrepreneurship, which are also closely combined. And why I was so excited to bring Marshall on is that when I think about leadership, mentorship, and entrepreneurship, as far as all of the athletes that I've worked with, the Hall of Famers that I've worked with, this is the icon for it. This is the guy that combines on and off the field the same qualities that our fine military vets and active duty people that have sacrificed the most that you could sacrifice for everybody's well-being. And so out of gratitude, thank you, Marshall, for joining us. I'd like to start, Marshall, maybe giving your perspective on how leadership, mentorship, and entrepreneurship are all combined and some of the things that you're doing today, even during this time of uncertainty, to accelerate and grow. We're talking about how well things are going for us. Let's get everybody else on the train.
Right. And Dave, it's an honor to be on here with you. It's an honor to be a part of this. It's an honor to serve our military and just to be on here and to, first of all, thank them for the work that they do, putting their lives on the line and serving our country. We would be remiss not to give them all the gratitude that they deserve for putting what they put at risk for us to have the liberties that we have. And I think we're more thankful now understanding what has been taken from us. But to move forward, all the things, leadership, entrepreneurship, and all of that, it comes down to one thing, Dave. And this is, out of all the things you talk about, they all come back to that one thing, and that's mindset. And I tell people all the time, whether you're in the military, whether you're the CEO of a company, whether you're running a hot dog stand, I don't care what you do. If you have the right mindset, you can be successful. And there's a lot of things that are always going to challenge you. There's a lot of things that's always going to confront you. And your mindset is the thing that's going to set you apart from other people. I came from humble beginnings, had nothing. I mean, nothing. And the thing that was different for me compared to everybody else that's from my neighborhood was my mindset was that nothing, I mean, nothing was going to get in the way of the dreams that I had, the reality of where I wanted to get, and where I was sitting at that point in time. And I just think about it. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And that's just it. It changes. And so my mindset and how I approach things and how I go at things, it's always paramount. I always go back to that. And even in leadership and entrepreneurship and however I attack things, it's the first thing I want to get right. I get my mindset on how I want it to be, how I want to attack it, how I want it to look like, how I want it to be, how I want the people around me. And then I can move forward with that vision and share it with others.
It's so interesting because I start there as well. And I always tell people there's always uncertainty, whether you're a professional athlete, a military member, or an entrepreneur, but the uncertainty is the future and we can never predict the future. But there's some commonalities. Number one, nobody has this more than Marshall Faulk, which applies to entrepreneurship. And that's why we partnered into WFG and the business that we're doing to create security, stability with, annuities and other things for people. But moreover, it's, I must be what I can be. Both of us started with humble beginnings, but there's something inside of us and which our military, with the sacrifices they make, you must be what you can be. Now let's apply it to the four certainties that we have. Here's the four things that you can control. And I'm sure our military friends out there especially know about having the stable data and the stable controls that are necessary in order to effectuate change and movement, acceleration, and growth. Number one, mindset, which you more than adequately explained. Two, we have control over our feelings. right? A lot of times, and this is where that happiness genes help us, but not only can we shift our mindset, but we can shift our feelings. I am doing a training on Friday about learning to love what you do. All that is training and practicing the way we feel. Right? Why not look for the light, the love, and the lessons in what we do? As athlete, you know, we've learned to do that. As military people, we've learned to find the lessons and the light in what we're doing. So you have control of mindset, of your feelings. Three, what we say and what we hear. And I think more than ever, what we hear is so important. What are you listening to? What are you voting for? You can't sit there all day long listening to negative rhetoric, because that's what you're going to become. Negative rhetoric. You know, you quoted Wayne Dyer, when change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Change the way you listen to things, the things you listen will change. And we know to control our speech, but I think more than ever, we can control what we hear. If you want stable data, go seek it. Don't let it inundate you all day long. Don't let people tell you what you can't do. Don't vote for what they want for you. Don't vote for unstable data. Go ahead, put a list of things that you need to know during the day to make, you know, effective business and personal decisions. Go seek it once or twice a day. Get the data you need, but move on. Start listening to the stuff that you want to hear. It's like a race car driver, or, you know this is a running back. I've seen this before. Oh my God, I'm going to fumble. I better not fumble. Better not fumble. Guess what the running back does every time? That's what people are doing right now. It's like, I better not fumble. Oh my God, I hope I don't lose my mind. No. Look at the road in front of you. Look at the goal line in front of you. Say, I am going to listen to what I want. I'm going to speak what I want. And then finally, you and I both know we have control of our actions, right? If you sit there, I have a do it now rule. If you aren't doing shit now, excuse my language, do it now. 100% of things that you do now get done. Most people aren't getting anything done right now, and then they wonder why they're not getting anywhere. I got more done today than I've ever gotten done. I'm productive, accessible, and gracious about what's going on. So I just appreciate people knowing that there are things you can be certain about all the time, the four things that we control. If you want to add to that one as well, Marsh.
Yeah. And a lot of times, just in that, we let me just tell you, because Dave talked about it. We live in this little world. We live in this little world because I know me working with the company, World Financial Group. I'm constantly on the phone with clients talking about where they're at. Markets up, markets down. The coronavirus hit. Where's your life insurance? Do you have enough? Do you have coverage at all? Is this going to, does this virus, if I get the virus and something happens, is it going to pay out? All of that stuff. My financial needs right now. I lost my job. I'm looking for an opportunity. Are you guys hiring? All of that stuff. We literally have taken on so many new people right now because our opportunity, we're a business that we haven't, actually, we've picked up, because although we don't have to be in an office, we can work from home. We can still provide for our clients, and we're isolated. We're in this little bubble, but we get to be the light that shines on someone. We get to help people. So we're not inundated with our own problems or our own issues. And whenever you get out of your own way, or you're not worried about your own stuff and you're helping other people, you're not in between your own ears, because sometimes in between your own ears is you. That's your own worst enemy. So we get removed from there. We start helping others. We start causing change. We start making a difference in the world. And then before you know it, you're sleeping better. You're doing more. You're getting more accomplished. And then you're planning out your day, your goals. Days start to go by faster. You're starting to do things that matter. And you're wondering, wow, what was I doing throughout the days when I wasn't quarantined? Start to ask yourself that. So I'm encouraging you guys to like be productive and not just sit in front of the television and intake news. Don't intake the news. Don't digest the stock market. Get away from that stuff. Become creative. Become constructive. Whether it's on your body or on your mind, you got to get out and you got to do something. You got to learn something. You got to educate yourself. You got to educate your body. You have to be proactive. It's not, you cannot allow this time to just waste and become a waste. If you walk away from this quarantine and you are the same person, or think you are, because if you walk away and you have not grown from this, trust me, you will not be the same person. You went backwards. I'm telling you, you went backwards.
Yeah. And
you have to go, you have to attempt to move forward, because if you think you stood idle, you actually went backwards. A lot has passed you by.
That is great. And people wonder, Marshall, you know, what do we do? There's two things you can do. If you're sitting there going, all right, well, what do I do, man? I lost my job, my family. What do I, I'll tell you, there's two things you can do. I know that can do, is one, take inventory. If you're looking to what to do during the day, go put it on your routine. Go take inventory of your health. Go take inventory of your family. Take inventory of your closet. Take inventory of your values. Go ahead, take inventory of your capability. Look and see, this is what you were talking about earlier. People should be taking inventory of capabilities that are synergistic and supplementary to the personal things that you want in your life, whether it's estate planning and all these other insurances and health and blah, 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 and the capabilities to make money. There's so many things right now that people have capabilities, which is why the World Financial Group is exploding. And what we're doing is providing opportunities for people to have capabilities with opportunities that are synergistic and supplementary to a growing business. And if you take inventory, you'll be able to not only distinguish those values, and you know, this is not a rebuild. This is a restart. You'll get this, Marshall. I told someone today, I said, this is just like when I graduated college and my fraternity brother looked at me and he said, what are you laughing at? I said, man, imagine if we could go back and be freshmen again, knowing what we know now.
Wow.
Like, that's what this is like. I'm sitting in my closet every day as my chief betterment officer saying, man, I get a restart. And this time I'm not behind the eight ball. I'm going to start in front of everybody and catch up to those people that got a head start to me. Those people that were born on third base and think they hit a home run, I'm going to go ahead and catch up to them, because I am utilizing this time to take inventory of all of these capabilities that are synergistic and supplementary to what I can do today and what I can do tomorrow to take advantage of it, regardless of the uncertainties of the economy, of the politics, of the health. All these things, I just have to tell people all the time, it is not unprecedented to have uncertainty in politics, health, right, and in the market. I'm sorry, it's just always uncertain. So what we have to do is utilize this time to take that inventory, and like you said, let's restart and get ahead of the ball game, because even if you stay the same, you literally are behind.
You are, and it's important. It's important for us to find, I was literally having a conversation with Bill Bellamy, and we were, cause he and I we are going to do something. And there's always an element of comedy with Bill, if you know Bill Bellamy. And it was just it was the reality of where we are at right now, because you don't really pay attention financially of your outtake when you have things coming in. But right now, there's literally, it's a slow crawl of what you have coming in compared to what we had coming in, because of the economy, not being able to work, not being able to be the mover and the shakers that we once were with our beings being able to make money. Now, you literally are watching, you're watching the things that go out. And you're like, and I know me, I'm honest about it. I'm like, wow, I never really paid attention that I was spending money on that. And I never really paid attention that I was spending money on that. Because those were things that you just deemed them essential, but they're really not. And I'm like, I'm thankful. And right now I'm leaving it in place. But once we're back, that's something I don't need. That's something I don't need. And it's and a favor has been done to me. I've been given time to reflect and analyze things in my life that I would have never seen. I would have never noticed things in my house. I would have never noticed things in my life that I've been given time and vision. My mother passed away a couple of years ago. She used to always ask me, Marshall, slow down, sit down, and pay attention. And I'm like, Mom, I don't have time. And I have all the time in the world. And as she looked down on me right now, as she, I know she's saying right now, as she used to say, Mama knows best. You see what I told you? And I see what she told me. I see exactly what she told me. And it took a quarantine and a nasty virus to really get me to see it. But sometimes it takes things like this. It takes acts of God or ungodly acts sometimes to get you to see things. And I see them. And I'm telling you, I will never miss things like this again. I will actually take these pauses and I will add this to my life now to make sure I don't miss things like this. These messages are for people like us, Dave, to slow us down, to remind us to live life and not let life live us, because we are all about doing for our families and doing and making things happen and creating opportunities. And we forget to sometimes to just live. And I'm thankful for it. I really am, man, because I've gotten a chance to just be here.
I'm with you the same way. It's so funny because right before this all happened, I was bragging to people how the best business decision I made was to hire a chief betterment officer. And so that person only walks around all day looking to make all of my employees better, me better, the systems, processes, softwares, the bathroom better, everything better. And the margin that he creates in my life by only being focused on, like your mom said, stop, sit down, pay attention, right? That's what his job is just pay attention while everything else is moving around and no one's paying attention to like the obvious things like, hey man, hey, fool, you don't got to go travel with five people and do a podcast in person in New York City just because it's a Hall of Famer that wants to sit down. You could save all that money, help the charity, build your business, help your family, do all these other things, and go ahead and use Zoom or some of these other things that I could have been doing and have it framed. Look, this background is my exact studio anyway, right? These are all lessons to stop, drop, and roll. And I think the biggest lesson too, you say, you know, never again will miss. I'm going to be my own chief betterment officer, that I'm always going to look for what I'm missing. I'm going to ask people, what do you see I'm doing wrong? Because my ego, no matter how much I teach, you know, the ego and being aware and acknowledging your ego and how it can put us into an accelerated place far beyond where we want to be, I still need some help. I need my mama around me, or someone like my mama or my wife, or somebody that is brave enough to say, you know, Marshall Faulk and Dave Meltzer may be successful, but they got a lot to learn and they got a long journey in front of me. And I need to see someone to slap me every week or every once in a while and say, hey, fool, sit down. Let's talk about what you're doing wrong, because you're still, whether you're in the closet or out of the closet, you need to learn these lessons because you are on a journey and you have potential. We both were born with great potential, but we're not going to reach it if we're not humble enough to listen and learn all the way along.
So true. So true, Dave. What do we want? We want to start taking some questions.
Yeah, let's take some questions. Yeah. Mike or whoever, you want us to, you're going to read them off?
We're going to take some questions.
How are we going to do this? There's tons in there.
Yeah, we'll just have everybody submit them to the chat directly, then kind of fill them from there.
Want me to read them from here?
Yeah.
All right. I'll let Marshall handle the first one. Let me just get through. There's so many people that are appreciative of the mindset stuff. Let me make sure you put your questions. There's four in the Q&A side. How do you guys push out the negative things from colleagues and coworkers? That's a good one.
Oh man. I'll be honest with you. I don't push them out. I literally digest them and I hear them. And I live with it. I just don't allow it to affect me. And I guess it's a part of what you learn when you play sport. You play road games. They're yelling negative stuff at you. Sometimes you have teammates whom are in a negative place, and as a leader, you have to pull them out of that area. So there's no such thing as, you know, not hear it or not pay attention. Nah, you digest it. And then what comes out of you, you know, and I'm a happy person. Whatever you say to me, my response to you is always going to be something positive. I don't have to allow, I am not going to allow what you say to control what I say.
That's a, you know, and for me, it's very similar. It's one, I go to understanding. So I don't have resistance, negative thoughts, attacking judgments, conditions. I don't make it worse. So if somebody comes with me with a perspective that may be seen as negative, I try to understand that and process it or digest it. But then I'm like you, I pray for their happiness. If I can't understand it, and you know, some people are projecting insecurity, they may say sexist things or ignorant things, attacking thoughts. And people get that, especially on a rogue game. They may throw batteries at you. But moreover, if you go and you try to understand it and it's just someone is not happy within, then I go to a point where I pray for their happiness, because I know if that person was happy, they wouldn't be projecting attacking thoughts or judgments or conditions or negative energy onto other people. And if we all took that process of today, understand and then pray for people's happiness. People, you know, they're going to be challenged. They're going to be frustrated, angry, anxious. What we need to do is understand and pray for their happiness, help support them how we can. But we don't want to surround ourselves with the wrong people and the wrong idea. It's okay, you know, not to be around it and allow it to fall away as well. Let's go to the next question here. I'll grab it. Next one is from Chad. Doesn't say where Chad H is from, but what is a must-have characteristic as a leader do you feel is best during a crisis? Oh, good questions. You want to grab that one first?
Go ahead. You can take it.
So, you know, to be a leader, in my opinion, and Marshall can talk about this as well, you know, it's by your actions, not by your words. Right? Motivation's cheap. Motivation's short. Motivation is a catalyst. I can get people up and running real quick with, but to be an inspired leader, to inspire others, you have to be consistent with your character. So integrity is one of the biggest ones. Humility is another one. You know, lead by example, but be humble and know that you're of service to all that you lead. For me, also forgiveness, you know, you got it. You know, leaders that aren't forgiving, you know, are just hypocrites. You know, they're, you and I have made a long book of mistakes. We'll continue to make a long book of mistakes. And yet so many people, they project and they get angry and attack others for making the exact same mistakes that they make. So learn to forgive yourself and give what you have, that forgiveness to others. So that's kind of my philosophy in leadership. How about you, Marshall?
Yeah, I like that, Dave. I like that. I believe that regardless if it's a crisis or not, I think that what a leader must be able to do is understand that first of all, the position that you're in, you're going to make a big decision because it's a crisis. So the ability to listen, leaders must be able to listen because the decision that you're making is not just your decision alone. And the people around you that's supporting you, their advice, someone is a specialist. Someone is someone in the room and or somebody's in the room. They are smarter than you. That's why you have them there. The ability to listen as a leader, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. If a leader is incapable of listening, he is no longer the leader of a democracy. He is a dictator making his own decisions. And that's how I look at it. You cannot win that way. And that's not leadership. That's dictatorship.
I love that. Yeah. And that's why we ask for help as leaders as well. Anonymous attendee, what is your number one book recommendation on mindset and/slash professional mindset? You got one?
Not really.
I got tons.
I know you got a bunch.
Yeah. Besides my books, so look them up.
No, don't go besides your books. Include your books, Dave.
All right. Connected to Goodness.
Include your book.
Capitalism, Creating the Life You Love with Jack Canfield. But my favorite books to read, not write. Think and Grow Rich, you know, Course in Miracles, Wayne Dyer, Power of Intention. These are some of the best mindset books of how we can see everything in a productive, I call it the Meltzer Kaleidoscope, productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. How much value are you providing? How are you of service? How accessible are you to others to be of service, and how are you accessing what you want, receiving, and how grateful are you for everything? The people that find the light, love, and lessons in everything, they're able to be grateful for the little, and I know you grew up in Louisiana, humble.
Yeah.
The one thing I loved about going to law school in Louisiana, the people are so grateful for every little thing. When you walk in, they're grateful for your presence. When you leave, they're grateful for you leaving. Every morsel of food, everything is with lanyap, you know, a little bit of love, a little bit of care, and a lot of gratitude. And so that kaleidoscope is what I utilize. And those books are what they teach and will control that consistent behavior. Awesome. Let's pull up. There's a lot of questions, man. They came pouring in. Brenda Rodriguez, thank you for helping out our military. Thank you guys for helping us. How do you maintain a healthy mindset? Is there a common ritual you do every day? What's a routine, Marshall, that you may use for mindset?
You know, I get up every day. I say my affirmations, and I consider that clear in my mind, and set my mind on how to be positive and what my agenda is for today. You know, even if you're listening to, whether it's your kids, whether it's your wife, whether it's your siblings, whether it's even if it's a movie or whatever, you're taking in some type of negative something, because there's always a positive and a negative to everything, whether it's a movie, whether it's a conversation. So when you go to sleep, you wake up, you have to cleanse and reset. And so that's what I do. I reset. I let myself know. I give myself my champion mindset as to how I am, what I am, who I am, what I want to become, what I want to accomplish, what my goals are, what I want to do, and how I'm going to attack this day with everything that I have.
I love that. I utilize similar stuff. For me, I start plateau and grow is my goal, you know, so I wake up and I find my highest frequency. I meditate, but it doesn't mean everyone has to meditate. You can do your affirmations. You can walk the dog. You can go swimming, whatever makes you feel the best. But I feel like in order to plateau and grow every day, I need to know my highest self at the beginning of the day, the highest frequency, and then acknowledge when something puts me off of my center, something puts me at a lower frequency, so I can stop, like we say, and get back on track, stop, drop, and roll to the higher frequency so I continue to accelerate and grow. So for me, my routine is start the day with the one action, the highest frequency, my best self through meditation is how I do it. And then try to get back and beyond that all day long by knowing my values, by asking for help and to provide service, by being a student in my calendar, by doing things now and practicing ending fear. Those are the five things I utilize. So, that's a great question, by the way. Everyone should utilize something like that. Let's get to the next one. Alex Falcone, I've decided I want to start my own FB/IG marketing agency.
Yeah, Facebook, IG. That's all you do.
All right, good. What is your advice for me? Look, man, the key is, right, to come up with value. And whether it's Facebook, IG, TikTok, LinkedIn, I think you should be an expert in all of them, because what you really want to train is help people find their frequency to put out quality content consistently on all the different platforms with the strategy of you're going to help them capture the content correctly. So first develop the content so that they know their frequency and their truth, the highest quality content they can, but specifically be themselves. Don't try to please everyone. You know, there's already Kardashians out there addressing the 87%. If your specialty is nail cutting, there's millions of people. You can be the expert at nail cutting and you can have a great expertise. So quality content, capture it, amplify it on the right format with the right platforms, perpetuate it, meaning let people keep on viewing it. You may not hit a lot of people today, but 2 years from now or 20 years from now, millions of people may enjoy it. So the best piece of advice I can is become an expert at finding quality content, capturing it, amplifying it, and perpetuating it. All right, let's get to some good juice here. What's the first step to getting your creative idea into a tentative plan? So how do you make imagination a probability? How can you continually reassure to yourself that it's the right step when self-doubt appears. Marshall, this one's all yours because nobody has more self-doubt than, you know, you're in high school and people say, sorry, man, you can't play.
Yeah, it's, you know, self-doubt is, it's probably your biggest competitor. That space in between your ears, it's your toughest competitor. Literally, it has defeated more people than any opponent ever. Ever. It's won more matches in sport and life than any opponent has ever done. So understand that you have to first master how to defeat you before you ever accomplish anything. How can you learn internally to control and manifest how to win versus your fears, how to win versus your nerves, how to overcome versus adversity? All of those are things internally that you have to learn how to deal with before you ever face an opponent, before you even face a challenge, before you even face the plan. So if you're struggling with self-doubt, the plan and building the plan, we're not going to even go there. You need to deal with doubt. Like, we don't even need to start with business, because if you were asking me about a plan, I'd have gotten to how do you handle the plan and this, but you brought self-doubt in. Self-doubt, we can't even get into the plan because self-doubt is
game breaker.
You're not even in the game yet if you're still fighting self-doubt. I just want you to know.
I agree. And if you're worried about the plan, you know, I always say you want to make God laugh, come up with a well-developed plan, let and allow a plan to evolve. But the biggest part of a business plan is to make sure it's capitalized correctly, because as long as you stay in business and keep the opportunities and option open, you will pivot and eventually be a success by detaching your emotions from the outcome. And the biggest one to detach is fear. And nobody knows that better than an athlete, because
that self-doubt will continue to keep popping up. Every time something happens in business, it'll keep popping up. Oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have did this.
Yeah, no doubt. This one's from Tyree, so this should be a layup, all right? What has been your biggest personal breakthrough during the quarantine? Great question.
Well, I know for me, I actually thought I was working hard, and I realized I wasn't working hard enough. With all the time that I have, I realized that I actually had room to work harder. And for me to say that is, that's a lot. People around me, for me to say that, they probably didn't think that was possible, but I've been able to work more.
Yeah, it's crazy. I thought I was productive as well, but my ego, you know, I teach ego, and I practice ending fear, and, you know, it was just an awakening to me. And the biggest takeaway I have is that I can be a better father. I can be a better husband. I can be a better leader in my business. I can be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful at what I have done and will do simply by sitting in a closet, right? Like you said, sitting and analyzing what I'm doing. And I also realize, you know, once again, I don't know what I don't know. And sometimes, you know, success again gets in my way of being my better self. And so I just have to write down again onto my screensaver and my calendars and my nightstand, radical humility. You know, the ego lessons keep on coming, and they keep on coming until I learn them. And I want to tell everyone out there, look, pain is a result of not knowing a lesson, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual pain. So if you're feeling any of those right now, all it is it's an indicator that you have a lesson to learn. And I have trained myself to get excited to learn lessons. So when I feel pain, I instantly say, oh, good, I got a lesson to come. You know, this is the purpose of that pain. Fortunately, not as much physical pain as I used to be in. And I promise you, Marshall, he probably won't admit it, but I guarantee you a lot less physical pain for you as well. There's some big dudes that used to hit you, buddy. All right. Elliot Martinez, thank you for your question. How about when it is your, what about when your family's negative? I get this a lot in business too. Like, what do you do, Marshall? You and I are both surrounded with a lot of family, right? Our houses are full right now. It's impossible internally to be socially distancing. That's how many people I got in my house depending on us. What do you do when someone in your family is negative and you have to be around them?
I don't have that. My family's on board with everything that I do. And the parts of my family that's not on board with everything that I do, I just don't associate with them because I don't have time for that. I really don't. You know, I'm a dream chaser. And a lot of the things that I've done in life, they've defied the odds of the probabilities of people with chances in the environment that I grew up in. So everybody was told that they could not do the things that I've done. So it never made sense. So they can't tell me what I'm doing. They can't be negative to what I'm doing because they don't know.
Oh, I'm the same boat. No one around me, I don't allow it because I'm not going to vote for what other people want for me, especially someone telling me what I can't do. And in the same respect, if you're forced to be surrounded by them, then let them go, meaning go ahead and limit the energy that they have onto you, meaning take their advice like a handful of sand and let it just flow through you and just be grateful to say, oh, thank you for caring enough to tell me that. But don't let it stick. Don't let it stick into your hand, because when you start voting for what other people want of you, what other people think you can do, when you start, because let me tell you this about what other people think. Only thing people think about you is things that have already been done. You heard this guy right here. He's not a dreamer. He's a big dreamer. I'm a big dreamer. So why do I want to do what other people have already done? Right? Read a book if that's what you want for your life. You can read about everything that's done. If you want to create things and you want to innovate, you cannot listen to anybody that's telling you what limitations you have, because none of us know what limitations we have. Because in my opinion, I'm in the quest to figure out how unlimited I am, how infinity I keep on pressing myself. I'm the only one that should limit me by whatever perspective I have. So I agree full-heartedly with that. And that's a great question because so many people listen to what other people think.
Always.
Ugh. All right, Blake Morgan. For folks who may not naturally have that happiness gene, I get it. What would you tell them to help them develop that mindset? And you can develop this. Go ahead, Marshall. How can you start developing seeing things with the glass half full?
You know, it's perspective. It's perspective. You literally have to, first of all, it's, you have to appreciate what you have. You have to appreciate what's around you. And you have to think about where you're at in life. And I'm not saying you have to accept it, but you have to appreciate it. If you live somewhere, you have to appreciate that you have a roof over your head. And you have to have perspective as to other people that live around you that might not have a roof over their head. And you have to, if you have a car and it might not be your dream car, you have to appreciate people that take, you have to think, people taking the bus and you have a car. You have to be happy about the things that you have. If you have a job, it might not be your dream job, but you have to be thankful that you have a job or an income. You have to start looking at things from a certain from the perspective that you are in, and think about the perspective that you are going to, that you want to be in, and also look back at the perspective where other people are at. And from there, it changes. It changed. You can't only have one perspective in life. And a lot of people only have that one perspective. And if it's a negative perspective, and if it's a glass half empty perspective, and that's all you see, then that's all you get.
I agree full-heartedly. One only thing I'd add to that is, you know, I always joke around and say, man, it's tough because I get people that tell me, and you do too, I'm depressed. Some people are even suicidal, and you know, they just can't see any light, any lessons, or any love in there, and they got no hope. Here's what you do. The one thing that Marshall was missing, because that's great advice, is if you are not feeling it, you don't have a happiness gene, you're more have a tendency to look at the negative, go do something for somebody else. right? It's easy for these great military people because they live their life of service. But if you want to know how to start building a happiness gene, the best way is, you know, I always tell people the last resort of hopelessness is to go help somebody. Hopelessness is served by helpless, right? And so when you help somebody, when you create that energy, it's impossible because happiness is the strongest virus of all time. It's the only virus that we spread by witnessing it. It strengthens our immune system. Happiness is extremely powerful. And the pure truth and happiness, it occurs when you do something for someone else. So if anyone's out there having difficulties, go ahead, change your perspective and say, F it. I'm going to go help somebody else and not worry about what's going on in my life, and watch how quickly you start developing that happiness gene about what's going on in your life. That's awesome, man. All right, let's see. We got a lot of questions. Just so you know, Marshall is extremely gracious for his time. I'm going to be every day LinkedIn Lives at 3 o'clock if you want more questions answered. Also do a Friday training for free. Everybody's invited. It's always free. And sometimes Marshall stops in. So we'll get some real wisdom besides me. Let's see here. What's your biggest challenge in leadership and what was your personal growth in it? Brandy Torres.
Well, I'll tell you guys, and I'm going to tell you guys my first, like, really, really first, like, big moment with leadership. I got traded, and it was in sports. I got traded from the Colts to the Rams, and it was Coach Vermeil. he pulled me aside and asked me to do something that was different than my normal routine. And it kind of shocked me in a sense that he would ask me to do something that was totally different than something that I had done that had made, that worked for me. And it didn't make sense to me at the time. On the field, didn't resonate, but I made the change. I trusted in him. When I made the change, I then saw, with me making the change, I saw how the other guys followed and what difference it made in the rest of the team. So what I'm trying to tell you is, for me in leadership, I didn't understand that sometimes as the leader, at that point in time in a sport where grown men who get paid to do a job, millions of dollars, they need an example regardless of who you are, what you are, best of the best, great, best athletes, even the getting paid a lot of money, they still needed an example. They needed you to lead by example as well. They needed to be shown what to do in order to do it right. And from that day forward, everything that I've done, everything that I do, I lead from the front. I don't tell them how to do it. I show them how to do it in everything that I do. And Coach Vermeil, I had never thought about it in that manner up until that day. I had always did things how I wanted to do them, based on how it worked for me, not selfishly, just getting myself ready. And that's when I became a better leader, a better person in a sense. And it clicked, and it's carried over in my life from sport to business.
I think that's great. And for me, that's an illustration of why you're a great leader, and where I learned at a young age in the corporate world, because I was younger than most of the people that I was leading, was that I had one of my mentors, an executive vice president of the large corporation I was working for. He said, Dave, you have to learn that you're enough. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm enough. Of course I'm enough, man. I'm the vice president in my early 20s. He said, no, Dave, you are overselling, back-end selling, manipulating. You are projecting things that aren't true. You need to illuminate, just like Marshall did there. You got to illuminate the truth. Where are your shortcomings as a leader? And so I read a book called Illumination by Dave Corbin, and it talked about being vulnerable by showing people where you need to improve as a leader, where you are scared, where you are human. And that's, you know, truly the transformation for me from an ego-based projection that I had to be more than enough to just that, you know what, I'm enough as a leader and I have a lot to learn and I illuminate. You know, I'm probably one of the few people on earth that brag about losing so much money and more people ask me for money advice because of it. It doesn't make sense, right? But I illuminate my shortcomings, and that's what a great leader does, is teaches through their experience, illuminate the mistakes that they've made and the lessons that they've learned. And I appreciate you illuminate that lesson from Dick Vermeil as well. That's awesome. All right, Marcus Monroe, what are some good morning routines that you do every day to prepare yourself for a very successful day? Do you have any other routines, Marshall?
Well, no, we got into that one. You know, I'm all about my affirmations.
I went through my five. Let's go to the next one. You're welcome. Thank you for spending the time. We're extremely clear and knowledgeable and full of wisdom outside of the four things you can control. Is there anything you know now that you would have learned sooner? Any lessons learned in life and or business? Any lessons that we should have learned sooner, or great lessons?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Now that I know, when I know about how money works, definitely my financial literacy and my IQ about finances, I'm on a whole new level. The education that I've gotten out of with World Financial Group and what they've done, how they've grown me and how I've grown my business with the company, it's allowed me to not just help me and my family, but help so many people and their families. It's changed my life.
And believe it or not, you know, that's what's got me in the last 13 years back to where I was, by putting my focus on making money, by allowing World Financial Group and all the products and services and solutions to create security in my life. You know, I used to waste so much time owning properties and stocks and all these different things that I owned when I could have just been focusing on all that energy and making money and putting it into guaranteed solutions that grow and double on average every 7 years and have no risk of going down. When the market crashed, you know how much time, emotion, and money I saved just because I didn't even care? Because I was put into that financial literacy and security from your team and others, Marshall, that changed my life. I think the number one thing for me too is ask for help. Even today, I have mentorship. I have three mentors at all time minimum that sit in the situation that I want to be in. We co-mentor each other, Marshall. You know, teach me so much, and hopefully I share a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah, trust me, you do.
But you know, there's always somebody that knows more than you. In fact, Marshall and I always say, if we're in a room and we're the smartest people in the room, we're in the wrong room.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, please ask for help. You know, that's where humility comes in. You know, the more you ask for help, the faster it goes, the more you learn. No reason to pay the dummy tax twice. Go ahead, find someone that's paid the dummy tax and move forward from there. Really good question. By the way, I'll tell you, as an engaged group, I've never had a higher percentage of questions to people. Holy moly, this is great. Milton Juarez, how do you stay positive when things are not going your way? What do you do? What do you say? Whoops. Where do we go, Milton? What do you say to yourself when you encounter defeat to pull yourself out of the funk quickly and effectively? That's a football question.
Yeah. You know what, Milton? Here's the reality, man. In every defeat, there's a lesson. That's the reality. Every loss in life, there's a lesson. And if you sit in the defeat and the agony, you will miss the lesson.
Light lessons in love. You got it.
I'm telling you, grasp the lesson. Find out why. Find out why you lost. Find out why the deal didn't go your way. Find out what happened and bookmark it and make sure it doesn't happen again. That's how you pull yourself out of it, by educating yourself and making sure it doesn't happen again, whatever it is. Every loss that I've ever had, whether it's in sport or business, I'm like, okay, I know why we lost, or I know what I did in the game when I've lost the game, and I'm going to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
That's awesome. I got one directly to you right here. Zach asks you, hey, Marshall, what are your main income streams working right now? And which one is your favorite?
Dude, I don't have many working right now with what's going on. It's seriously, other than I have a, my elevator and escalator business is working because that's essential, because I work on, we work on a lot of, we have contracts with hospitals and stuff like that and airports. So that part is working. But outside of that, working basically here at WFG, what I do, it is literally the thing that is thriving. It's the only thing that has taken off. Everything else has either went down or sitting idle. World Financial Group and our platform of financial services, of helping families, providing for them products to make sure that no family is left behind, and what we do on a education, on a client services, and giving people an opportunity to come in as a business partner and learn the business and be a part of this business. Nothing's like it. It is literally recession proof.
Yeah, it's been fun for me because I've got some pretty big deals over the last few weeks sitting in my closet with WFG and your team. So thank you. keeps the momentum going. Dulce Rositas, constantly having rejection has put me down. How can I overcome, like, don't want to, this affecting me? So once again, I think we hit the negativity, what to do to overcome that. Sean from San Diego, why does truth vibrate the fastest? And how do you practice brutal honesty in your leadership styles? I'll handle the first part. You handle the second. Because that's my favorite line in the world is truth vibrates the fastest. Here's what I think. I think that you only can be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. So the earth vibrates, plants, animals, humans, sound, then light. But I always say the thought, the truth vibrates the fastest. So if your goal is to pursue the truth, your potential, your strengths, your weaknesses, whatever your potential is, I joke around and say, you know, like everyone has different potentials according to the skills and capabilities that they perform on. If I wanted to pursue my truth of being a basketball player, I'd be an average over 50-year-old JCC, the Jewish Community Center Basketball League player. That's my potential. That's the best I could ever be. And football is about an average Division III football player, where in football, Marshall's potential was the greatest of all time Hall of Famer. But in calculus class, my potential may be higher than Marshall's. But if we're pursuing the truth, it vibrates the fastest, and it always will. So sooner or later, your truth will come out if you enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your truth, your potential. And now the second one, that second part's yours, which is how do you
practice brutal honesty? This is good, all right? Because understand this, okay? When you're a leader, really good leaders, they find ways to say a lot by saying a little, okay? And when you tell the truth, when you're brutally honest, the truth often is said to you once. When you tell lies, you have to tell multiple.
I love that. All right, last question here, Marshall. We we're flying. Like I said, if anyone wants to join me, I'll be on LinkedIn Live every day at 3, free trainings on Friday, and I appreciate everyone. Can each of you share a failure that led to your success? And what book, podcast, or other leadership item are you reading or listening to now? Armando Azuna, great last question.
So for me, I was, and this is, and a lot of people know this. So in college, I was the 3 years that I was in college, I was probably, I know in my mind, I was the best player to play. Like those 3 years, it was nobody better than me in college, those 3 years. And my second year, it was hands down, no doubt, I was the best player, and to not win the Heisman Trophy was deflating to me. It literally, to not win that award, it took a lot out of me. But My coach said to me, you know, awards are won in practice. They give them to you after the season or after the game. You did all your work beforehand. Don't worry about what they do afterwards. And once I came to grips with the fact that didn't define me not winning the Heisman Trophy, and I didn't allow that failure to define me not being a part of that. I literally took that chip on my shoulder into the NFL, and for 12 years, it drove me to be everything. And I think even now, I use it, you know, in the moments that I need a push. They actually thought you couldn't do it. They actually thought you weren't good enough. They actually thought, you know, I still use it, regardless of how people tell me I'm great, regardless of all this stuff behind me, trophies in my office, Hall of Fame bus or whatever, I still use it.
That's awesome. My failure is real simple. I wanted to be rich so I could buy my mom a house and a car. It's the only thing that I ever witnessed as a young boy that wasn't happy in my childhood. And so when I lost everything, over $100 million in 2008, and had to go tell my mom that I was bankrupt and realized that I had forgotten to take her house out of my name. And I had to go tell her not only that I lost everything, but she was moving out of the house. The only reason I wanted money in my whole life, the only reason I want to be rich, take care of my mom. So when I had to tell her that she was moving out of the house and my anticipation was going to be, you know, shattering her dreams and disappointment, but all her response was the lesson that carries me to this day, which shifted the paradigm of value in my life, was she wasn't upset at all. Her only concern was for me. She answered me when I told her she had to move, was, are you okay? Can I give you any money? Is there anything I can do for you? My mom showed me how lost I was, that life was more about the unconditional love, the service and value and what she provided for me and my siblings over anything I could ever buy or anything I could ever, you know, purchase a car or a house or anything. And so that paradigm shift of being of service and providing value and to make room for what I want to allow things to come through me all stem from what was the scariest, most disappointing failure of my whole life. And it has changed me over the last 13 years. It's one of the reasons I partner with you, Marshall, because you live in this abundant world. You share in your desire to take care of other people from the purposes of your business to the purpose of your life. And the same goes true with all these great people that are on here today. And I just want to say thank you to Ty for setting this up. Thank you to everyone for joining us. And most importantly, Marshall Faulk does not come cheap to get him here for an hour.
Oh, come on, Justin, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Awesome. It's all good, man. Anytime. Glad I could serve.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook. But more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all of the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.